there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season... We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts... of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I don't care what you say. That appetizer of NFL football yesterday was like the mozzarella sticks that had absolutely no cheese in it. It oozed out throughout the process of either deep frying or baking or however you want to make your mozzarella sticks. But now we've got a main course of football on this Christmas Eve to keep us satisfied in Week 16. Welcome in. It is Fox Football Fantasy coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. But the Vikings and Ravens are saying, okay, there's still mozzarella sticks, so I'm going to still eat these mozzarella sticks if I paid $7.99 for them. I don't care if there's cheese in them or not. The breading is good enough for me. I will take what I can get and be happy with it. If you've listened for the first 15 weeks of the season, you have been more than happy. And many of you are now sitting on the cusp of a championship in your fantasy football league. Well, why turn away if you haven't done it in the first 15 weeks? And why abandon the route that got you there? You got to listen to the guy that's helped you week in and week out in this 2017 NFL season. And just because it's Christmas Eve doesn't mean he plans on stopping anytime soon. He is the one, he is the only, he is Michael Harmon.
You know, I'm all full of cheer and positivity, although I've been getting some comments over this Merry Sithmas shirt that I got going here. Darth Vader with... you know, some Imperial Walkers and some other things going on there. You know, we celebrate each of the 256 regular season games. They're like, well, extended family to me. But those games yesterday for fantasy owners certainly left you much to be desired. Thielen, a non-factor. The Ravens, touchdowns caught by players nobody's ever heard of. Campanero and Max Williams, two X's for savings. And then Frank Gore scores a touchdown. When you can't trust Frank Gore ever, he finds the end zone.
And why would
early.
You play him against the Ravens defense?
Well, that only by you volume, know? Right? Yeah. It's one of those that, all right, I'm desperate and I'm looking at the touch count and I know he's going to touch the ball 15 times, so I have to leave him in as a flex or a back end number two. But you were probably looking for upside all over the place. Well, we'll try to do that and find that for you today. 12 more games on the slate today and then two for your Christmas Day, whatever, however, with whomever you're celebrating these couple of days, whether it's just enjoying a day off from work, we thank you for giving us a few minutes here at Fox Sports Radio. Dan and I have a blast doing this show with our team here, Isaac, Pastor Sam, and with Robert Dismati, and we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us wherever you're going. If you're headed to services, don't forget to give a nod to the big guy upstairs for us, too.
It's amazing that in this holiday season, the NFL gave us garbage on Saturday, because that's what we had.
Well, it's still a gift, okay. Right? It's still a reminder. I don't know. I'm trying to really shovel something
for you there, Dan. No, it's all good. It's fine. This happens. And really, when you look at what could happen today and then you look ahead to Week 17, it's not like there's going to be half the games in Week 17 that matter. There could maybe be three or four that matter right. in Week 17 and everything else just be as it may. But the Green Bay Packers last night, to just touch on, we obviously knew that there was going to be no Aaron Rodgers. But what was even more interesting, Mike Harmon, I was watching the game, and at some point, I'm going to put it up on Twitter, and I didn't last night. But there was an opportunity where you saw Jordy Nelson out on the field, and he ended up getting dinged up. And you see, okay, Jordy Nelson, number 87. And I started to think of the Green Bay Packer, the wide receiver history. And there's great history. Max McGee.
Oh, there you go.
You know, you could go back, but I want to touch on the recent history. And because I saw number 89 last night, and I'm like, wow, that's, you know, James Jones. That's a number that's popular. Saw Lance Kendricks wear number 84. Michael Clark, by the way, wore 89. And I was trying to think of like the quintessential number of the Green Bay Packers wide receivers. Like the number that like you identify, and it was either 84 with Sterling Sharp and remember Billy Schrader?
Sure.
He was a wide receiver from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. You have 87 where you could put Jordy Nelson and Robert Brooks. And then I thought the other number that you could put in for a wide receiver, I know I'm going totally off base here, but was 80 with Donald Driver and James Lofton. But the point being, remember last week when I said, if you're watching the Seahawks, you're going to see a lot of numbers that you don't remember. With the Packers last night, you saw a lot of numbers. You just didn't recognize the faces in those numbers. And that's the point that I'm getting to in this long rant is there were a lot of guys last night that you just didn't recognize, number one being Aaron Rodgers, but even after the fact for that, for the Green Bay Packers, there was no Davante Adams last night. He was out.
Well, he had to be shut down. Yeah, I mean, based on the two hits he's taken, amongst all the others, but two very highlight, real, worthy of a reminder of where we're at and the changing of the rules and how the NFL, you know, is governed these days. Davante Adams is the poster child for wide receivers this year. But yeah, you mentioned Clark and Kendricks. I mean, Jordy Nelson, 3 catches, 11 yards. You weren't expecting fireworks from the Packers, but you were expecting some sort of effort. It makes it for it's a chuckle, obviously, and it really nothing's going to come of it. But now that teams are reportedly complaining to the league that Aaron Rodgers needs to be released after being put back on IR, it just shows you what kind of year we're having in the league overall to where someone would even pick up the phone or strike 5 keys to try to put that together.
I thought for Packer fans out there and for other teams can relate to this throughout the NFL, when you see Brett Hundley overthrowing Jeff Janis by 10 yards late in the game of a game that you're down by 2 scores plus, that's the type of season that it's been for the Green Bay Packers.
Just a succeed and proceed kind of opportunity here for the Vikings. I mean, that was it was cold and miserable. I think game time temperature was 14 degrees and just got colder as the night wore on and certainly not one from a style points that anybody was getting and from a fantasy perspective even less.
I don't know if Michael Clark arrived with Lewis for yesterday's game. All right, let's get to the hot plays of week 16 of the National Football League. Guys, you got to get in your lineup. Oh,
yeah.
What is this?
The club is open on Christmas Eve.
Starting Woo-hoo! Early. Hot plays, guys. You got to get into your lineup for week 16. You're likely playing for a fantasy title or maybe trying to stay out of last place. Mike, who do you got to get in your lineup this week?
Let's get it started with Dak Prescott on the comeback trail. Top 12 performer, 7 of the 8 games played with Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott returns today in that match against the Seahawks. The big question here, though, is Tyron Smith going to be able to go. They're saying he's going to give it the old college try, but what does that mean when it's all said and done? Hey, we've got the Steelers playing against Houston on Christmas Day, which means big plays over the top, at least in theory. And this is where it gets tricky, because we know what the Steelers can do with teams that are struggling, to use the term of Joe Namath from long ago. But we look at Juju Smith-Schuster. We look at Martavis Bryant. We're getting both of them in our lineups. 49 pass plays of at least 20 yards allowed by that Houston secondary. You want a streamer? You want to find a guy, the player out the Steelers that can maybe give you a little bit of love as well. You're looking at Jesse James. There's 8 touchdowns allowed to tight ends by Houston. Came up and was a factor, at least for a moment, in that game against New England. Going a little deeper, let's go to Tyler Kroft as a sleeper opportunist here for Cincinnati. The 3rd most fantasy points allowed over the last 4 weeks to tight ends have the Detroit Lions. That gives us Joe Mixon as well. Remember, he was injured against Pittsburgh back on December 4th, but he'd had 48 touches combined the prior 2 games. So they want him to have a huge workload. They want to showcase him here down the stretch, see exactly what he can do going forward. We've got Phillip Rivers going up against the New York Football Jets. Yeah, he's coming off a dud. And really, single touchdowns, 2 of his last 3. So not exactly setting the world on fire. But you look at the Jets, 27 passing touchdowns allowed, over 21 fantasy points allowed per game over the last month. Jarvis Landry against Kansas City. Yeah, it means you have to trust Jay Cutler to at least complete it to him, which he's done with regularity. 5-plus receptions every game this season. Top 10 in red zone targets. We're trying to hit pay dirt here in championship week. Drew Brees against Atlanta. Atlanta, 8th most fantasy points over the last 4 weeks. 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Michael Thomas cleared to go. Kamara back. Remember in the first meeting, didn't have Kamara there. You're looking at back-to-back 2 touchdown games for Breeze, his last 2 starts. First time that's happened since early October. That's how much they've relied on the ground game. But here, an opportunity against Atlanta to get after it. We look at Russell Wilson, the bounce back game on the other side of that Dallas-Seattle game. Multiple touchdowns allowed, 6 of their last 7 games. The Cowboys have not recorded a sack in 4 weeks. Think about that. That's just odd. Sterling Shepard going up against Arizona last week, 11 for 139 and a touchdown. Opportunity once again working out of the slot. The Cardinals have been beaten up by slot receivers all season long, so there's an opportunity for Shepard, even though it's probably too late for many of you that expected great things from him and his tag team partner Odell Beckham Jr. all year long. At least a couple of big target games here down the stretch, Dan.
The cold sores for week 16. We're going to flip it. The guys that you don't want to deal with, you don't want to touch, you don't want to see, keep out of your lineup if you want fantasy success. They are Mike Harmon.
A.J. Green going up against the Detroit Lions. Fewer than 70.
Big game hunting.
Well, that's what we're doing here. We got a short list, and they're all top-notch names. Fewer than 70 receiving yards, 6 of his last 8, and he's got Darius Slay, top 10 cornerback in this league. Some would argue top 5. So for A.J. Green, I do expect Cincinnati to put up some points. I don't think they're dead just yet. This is the smacks of a game against a Detroit Lions team that, let's face it, everybody's waiting for Detroit to do what they do in week 16 and week 17, which means a little bit more from Andy Dalton, but he's going to find the secondary guys, A.J. Green, not the primary. How about Kirk Cousins against Denver? You look at, even for all the warts on this Broncos team, the secondary still getting it done. 4th best against quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks, giving up only about 11 fantasy points per game and only 175 passing yards per game. And you look at Cousins, 4 straight games as a mid QB2. No thank you. Matt Ryan going up against the Saints. Multiple touchdowns in only 5 of 14 starts this year. 20th or worse, 3 straight. And you look at the Saints on the other side, 10th best against quarterbacks. They are beat up. That's the one thing that coming into this game, there's a lot of injury issues going in for the Saints defense. So perhaps Ryan, you can push him up a little bit, doing a little wishing, wanting, and hoping. But given what's gone on for 14 weeks, very difficult to jump on board.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've yet to jump on. I think it's a big day for the Saints today. I'll just put it that way.
There you go. Carlos Hyde against Jacksonville. He's going to be in your lineup as a second running back because of volume. This goes back to the Frank Gore theory that Carlos Hyde, obviously, a bit better week to week. But you're looking against Jacksonville, second best against the run, giving up 11.5 fantasy points per game. I really want to start dancing, Dan. Zero touchdowns during that period. On the flip side, San Francisco, very quietly, five straight weeks, just brilliant against opposing rushers. So Leonard Fournette, again, another volume play. You're not benching him outright unless you're really bold and gutsy in a championship week. San Francisco giving up fewer than 9 fantasy points per game to running backs over the last 4 weeks. 0 touchdowns and under 90 total yards per game. You got Alex Smith. You got Todd Gurley against Tennessee. He's going to have to make his mark in the passing game. You look at Alex Smith against Miami. It looks good. It looks good, but Miami, 11th best against quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks, and that includes 2 dates against Tom Brady. And you look at Alex Smith, road splits, home road splits, you'd think he's great at Arrowhead. No. 18 of his 25 touchdowns have come on the road.
I also think they get a little conservative at home, where they just, and today, you just get a win, you wrap up the AFC
Succeed
West.
Succeed and yep. Proceed, Dan.
That's how you do it. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Do you have a mystery man clue, or do you want to hold on to
we'll
that?
We'll hold on to the mystery
man.
All right.
We'll hold on to it. He is Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. You can always reach us on Twitter. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox, and you can get Mike at Swollen Dome. And the phone number's 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. The Philadelphia Eagles may be missing Carson Wentz, but that's not the reason why they're going to miss the Super Bowl. We'll tell you the reason next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy on Fox Sports Radio. Looking ahead to Week 16. 2 games yesterday. 2 games tomorrow. 1 game we're going to dive into in a sec, but 12 games today in the National Football League, but no Sunday night football. So if you're on the East Coast, by about 7:30, everything is going to be wrapped up. Here on the West Coast, by about 4:30, we should be good to go with our football on this Christmas Eve.
Get your fill of gluttony and everything rolling into the evening and watching whatever Christmas special, holiday special, or movie you like. Maybe it's an Elf. Maybe it's a drinking game with Will Ferrell. I don't know what the story may be, but a lot of revelry in the offing, and you don't have to sit and watch what potentially is a bad Sunday night football game. So you can move on from there, Dan. Fox Football Fantasy is brought to you by Geico. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago.
Mystery man for week 16. This is an opportunity for you to try to guess who Mike Harmon thinks is a good play this week. He'll give you some clues. Then throughout the show, you can tweet us, whether it be at Swollen Dome, or you can get Mike. You can get me at Dan Beyer on Fox. Give us a guess on who you think it is. Clue number one for the mystery man for week 16.
Week 16 of the National Football League. He's been in the league for 4 years. And has 29 career carries.
Okay, but he is a guy that you should play or pick up and play if you have an opportunity to today.
How about that?
In fantasy football. Maybe a good value at daily fantasy if he's even in the database?
That would be the one I'd be looking at. Absolutely.
Keep on scrolling down. The Philadelphia Eagles on Christmas night will take on the Oakland Raiders. And Mike, so much is made about Nick Foles taking over for Carson Wentz, and how this Eagles team isn't going to be the top threat in the NFL, or at least in the NFC, to get to the Super Bowl because of the lack of their second-year star quarterback. All of it understood. But you've got a matchup coming up on Sunday night against the Raiders that I think that many people feel that the Eagles should take care of business, and then they can wrap up their home field and go on with it and do what they need to do. But the fact is, Mike Harmon, I look at this Eagles team, and I look at what we saw last night in Green Bay, and I look around the NFC, and I'm starting to wonder a little bit about the Eagles' defense. We saw the Giants have some success last week, a game where New York jumped out to a 13-point lead in that contest. You've had another opportunity without Carson Wentz the week prior when he gets knocked out against the Rams. Still, L.A. puts up 35 points in that game. As I'm looking around the NFC and I see Carolina there, we see an improved Saints defense. One of the reasons why Philadelphia was a Super Bowl contender for a good part of the season was because we thought that their defense was different than in the past. They're still top 10 in a bunch of different categories, scoring defense, yards allowed. But now I'm wondering, Mike Harmon, when you have a drop at quarterback, your defense needs to step up. I'm not sure Philadelphia's is doing that right now.
Well, I think it all plays as well to the fact that you haven't really established the ground and pound, even with, though you have a couple of players that could do it.
92 running backs, yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got a whole host. You just got to put them together like it's Voltron.
Yeah,
or
Charlie Garner.
Wow, now you're talking.
Wilbert Montgomery.
Let's go get a little too Staleyan while we're at it.
Sure.
Bring Brian Westbrook back in.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got them all. But the idea being that between Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount and the cast of thousands, that you'd go back to the tried and true formula and keep the defense fresh, have an opportunity. You look at them over the past month, giving up on an average of 250 passing yards and two touchdowns per game, and the secondary as they're still getting okay pressure. It's not that it's been devoid, but they're not getting those big hits. They're not getting the series changing plays that they were earlier in the season. So Nick Foles, the pressure's going to stay on him so long as the defense doesn't revert to form, and they're going to play better opponents week in, week out. Now you get what may be a gift here against Oakland in week 16, because I have to believe that when Derek Carr fumbled the ball through the end zone, a piece of his soul went drifting through as well. You know, Amari Cooper still banged up. He's going to try to play, but he's a shell of his former self. Only two games with more than 60 receiving yards all year. Crabtree's been fine. Marshawn Lynch pops up on occasion, but Donald Penn now done for the year. And for Derek Carr, he's ranked 14th or worse for fantasy purposes in 10 of his last 11 games. So he hasn't been able to make the big plays either, which means Philadelphia should keep rolling. But it just means the answer to those questions just keeps getting kicked down the curb.
Raiders do have an outside chance at making it in the AFC, but a loss either this week or in week 17 would knock them out as they would face the Chargers in week 17. The Raiders and Chargers, by the way, two of six teams that with a loss today would be eliminated from the postseason. Two other teams, Cowboys and Seahawks, playing today in Dallas, and it's the return of Ezekiel Elliott. And this is interesting for the fantasy aspect of, for everybody who was able to navigate the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, which did take some savvy moves here and there because Alfred Morris wasn't as much of a threat. Rod Smith was the hot name early, and then he didn't really produce. And then all of a sudden in the Giants game, he has the huge pass play and it has huge production. But if you were able to navigate, now you've got Ezekiel Elliott going. And as you mentioned, that's all fine and dandy, but Tyron Smith is a question mark. May try to battle through today in what is a must-win game for really both these teams.
Yeah, this one's one to grab some popcorn and sit and watch, even if you have no fantasy implications, just because there's so much at play. I mean, your Seahawks with the number of injuries that they're trying to work through on the defensive side of things. Russell Wilson finally caught up to him last week where they just get absolutely boat raced at home in what could be a franchise-defining type game.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions,
right?
Yes.
I mean, because I heard the term all week of they passed the baton to the Rams. No, the Rams found them, stomped them to the ground, and took it out of their hands in very violent form.
There was, yes, I don't want to say like perfect storm is a term that's used way too much. We know that the Rams probably should have won in their first meeting in LA.
Right.
And now you look at how the teams fare in leading up to that point. The Seahawks defense sure was missing a lot, but Russell Wilson wasn't good on
right.
Sunday.
No,
and now if you go to Dallas and if you're the Seahawks and you get run over by the Cowboys, kind of like Todd Gurley did. I mean, the Rams were just great in every facet of the game. Yeah, if this was back-to-back weeks, if the Cowboys dominate the Seahawks, there is some real soul-searching in Seattle. And you look at the long-term ramifications of that, you don't have second- and third-round picks this year. You don't have a second-round pick in 2019, and now you've got a division with the Rams and Jimmy Garoppolo that you got to deal with. So the future of the Seahawks, which kept on getting pushed back after the last couple of years, all of a sudden may suddenly stare them right in the face. And with the Seahawks, you've got two stars bickering, which, let's be honest, there may be war of words. You don't see two all-pro guys like Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas going back and forth like you do. So there's got to be tension in Seattle. And if they get run over today, wow, it's crumbling fast.
Yeah, just all through it, you've seen the cracks, I think, a little bit with it's been a lot in the media, whether it was over – you know, the protests earlier in the year, the Michael Bennett stuff. I can't imagine that with the way information came back out after that whole Las Vegas thing, that sat well. Because whatever you believe, I think we can all agree he didn't tell 100% truth of what happened there and really tried to push a narrative. So when we're looking at what Pete Carroll's trying to keep together, you know, with all the contracts that have matured and those that are getting ready for their next, and while their bodies are breaking down in some respects and you're trying to figure out what the next iteration is, this becomes a very interesting proposition. But as we said in the hot plays with Russell Wilson, you've got the opportunity here that the secondary for the Cowboys has been beaten pretty badly the last month. And why? Well, there's no pressure up front. Suddenly all of that, the goodwill of early in the season, they've reverted a bit more to what I had anticipated coming into the year. I thought they grossly outperformed expectations given the suspensions and defections and everything else early on, and now we've seen more of that. But everybody, you know, he's in the best shape of his life, Dan, coming off this six-week suspension. If you're to believe it, you know, Superman's walking through that door and Ezekiel Elliott gets back. I have to believe they just try to ground and pound as best they can.
If you're a Doug Baldwin guy, you've got him in your league, probably hasn't lived up to the expectations. Still need a couple of decent games. Needs about 140 yards to crack 1,000 on the season. Not that 1,000-yard mark is the high point anymore. It seems 1,000 yards isn't as difficult as maybe it once was. The fact is, also only in the end zone five times is Jimmy Graham. Seems to be more of Russell Wilson's favorite guy.
That's the part of it that has been difficult for fantasy owners, that you were at least expecting more in the red zone looks. But again, it's that consistency of the offense. Running game hasn't been there much of the year. Like we joked about the Eagles earlier. Eagles are living high compared to what the Seahawks have been this year.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. The New England Patriots host the Buffalo Bills today. And if it's in the Patriots' best interest, they should lose this game. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why right after Isaac Lohenkron tells us what the latest is going on. Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Michael.
Merry
Christmas to both of you. The latest story out of left field reported this morning by Adam Schefter that multiple teams complained to the NFL last week that the Packers violated NFL rules by putting Aaron Rodgers on injured reserve twice with the same injury, and that technically, by rule, they would now have to release him. Now, Schefter noted that nobody expects Rodgers to be released, but the other teams wanted to know why the Packers were being granted immunity in this situation.
Well, they found the hidden immunity idol. That's why. Survivor.
There's always a potential marketing tie-in somewhere if you look deep enough.
Coming up later on CBS.
Come on, Schefter. Dan and Michael were able to make that connection. You need to dig a little deeper. In a related story, if Rodgers eventually did get released, no word yet on whether or not the Browns' reaction would be, nah, we're good. Our analytics tell us Deshaun Kaiser's actually better. Meanwhile, on the field last night, the Vikings froze out the Packers on the field at Lambeau.
On second and goal, Case play action, deep drop, fade to Diggs, back left of the end zone, and touchdown! Keenum to Stephon Diggs, and the Vikings lead 9-0.
Paul Allen, the call on KFIN as the Vikings won it 16-0 for their first shutout victory in 24 years. Hey, great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. In the NBA Saturday night, Denver broke the Golden State Warriors' 11-game winning streak by a 15-point margin, 96-81, as the Warriors went 3 for 27 from 3-point range. Russell Russell Westbrook, another triple-double in the Thunder's victory at Utah, the 90th of his career, fellas. That's over a full season's worth of triple-doubles for Russell Westbrook.
And the Warriors, I have a feeling, looking ahead to what's happening on Christmas Day in their finals rematch with the Cavaliers. It happens. It just doesn't happen as often.
The opening of the season,
Warriors.
Dan. Yeah. Tomorrow's the opener. And Steph Curry's trying to put together a group to buy the Panthers. I mean, there's a lot going on.
That story was, I'm sure P. Diddy's going to slide in with the ownership group, and it's going to be just like that. That's how it works. Thanks, Isaac. He is Michael Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. I mentioned the Patriots and why they may not want to win today. I know it sounds crazy, especially with home field still up for grabs in the AFC. But, Mike, I just look at how the AFC has played out, and we see Baltimore getting a win yesterday, helping their cause. But you look at the teams on the outside looking in, and specifically you look at, in my mind, you look at the Chargers and you look at Baltimore, teams that I think New England would have a difficult time. If I'm the other teams in the AFC, I want the Bills and Titans to get the final two wild cards. That's how I look. Like,
no,
I don't
absolutely
want anything to do with the Chargers. I know they put up a stinker against the Chiefs last week, but I don't want anything to do with that Ravens defense. Matchup-wise, I almost think that it benefits the Patriots to keep the Bills in it. I also don't think for New England, and I know things are different, and I know they played a close game, and the Steelers should have at least taken the lead on the Jesse James touchdown that wasn't. But I don't think New England cares as much about home field. Whether it matters or not is a different scenario. We know the one year when they lost grasp of it and then Denver had it, and Denver goes on to win Super Bowl 50 over the Panthers. But I just look at the matchups, and I see the teams that you could play. I don't believe in Tennessee at all. If they make the playoffs, I think that they're out in the wild card round. I'm not a big believer in what Buffalo has done because I still have no idea, and we're in week 16, what direction they want to go. But if you put the Chargers and the Ravens in that playoff field, there's no guarantee that they're knocked out in the wild card round, and then they're sitting there for either New England or the Steelers and how things play out. And I just think that those two teams are more dangerous. The Ravens and Chargers are more dangerous than what the Bills or Titans would provide.
Oh, yeah. The Bills are the most enigmatic team in the National Football League this year in terms of the way the roster's been managed, the quarterback position. Go back to that Peterman start.
No.
That's all you need to know about where they were putting this team together and trying to figure out whether Tyrod Taylor's the guy. Offensively, they haven't. How they've done this with no discernible talent at wide receiver. Kelvin Benjamin's been a ghost. Zay Jones has popped up for about five plays. Clay has been hurt much of the season. And yet, here you are. LeSean McCoy, if for fantasy owners that had him, you watched him dominate and then disappear and dominate and disappear. So the fact that they're still in the playoff hunt is absolutely baffling. Their secondary disappeared for about a month and a half as well. So a mess, but the Chargers get in with those two pass rushers, and they can get around Tom Brady's feet.
Phillip Rivers,
we're talking about Brady and injury and his Svengali, his guru, whatever title you want to give to him, and his being around or not being around the team. There's just so much that suddenly changes. Terrell Suggs and that pass rush for Baltimore being able to get after it, and Baltimore's always played New England tough. New England may have gotten the better of them most of the time, but as they do everybody else, but they get tested time and again. Give me Tennessee. Marcus Mariota most days can't hit the broadside of a barn, and that run game certainly not the monster that everybody anticipated.
Last week, I actually felt bad for Mariota in the game against the 49ers because I feel that Tennessee is wasting their quarterback. They have a 3rd-and-2, and they're in 49ers territory, and we know about exotic smash mouth. That's what Mike Mularkey wanted to do with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. Has it been as potent this year as you would have thought? But on a 3rd-and-2 in a game where you need to get a first down, keep the clock moving, you can go in and kick a field goal, they run the ball and they get stopped for no yards. So you don't trust your star quarterback, who is mobile, to put the ball in his hands. Yet in three plays when the 49ers get the ball back, they're already in field goal range with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing down the field. Like, it was, when you compared one or the other, you're like, wait, which team is 8-5 coming in, and which team had the three wins, then you realize, oh yeah, the 49ers were favored in this game. But it just showed the confidence in, on one sideline in their guy who has only been there a month, and then the lack of confidence or belief, which I think is so unfortunate, that you had in Tennessee. I just think the Titans are a mess.
They haven't figured out where the sit-down receiver is.
No.
You thought Eric Decker was going to be that guy. I know that, you know, the rookie was hurt much of the year. Davis, he wasn't around. Delanie Walker's been their only bright spot on a week-to-week basis. Rishard Matthews comes and goes. Like, he had a good start to the season, but he's disappeared. But being able to convert on those downs, again, as you mentioned, with Mariota's
at least put
ability,
it in his hands.
Right,
you know?
Ability to make a play, stretch the defense, see if you can find a crease, turn it upfield, get your first down. So it's been a strange season watching them. And again, like the Bills, it's amazing that they're still in playoff contention. I think that speaks to where we're at in the 2017 season, which has been just rife with so many negative stories, but the play on the field has been head-scratching as well.
Chiefs can wrap up the AFC West with a win against the Dolphins today. And that Bills-Patriots game that we talked about kicking off at 1 o'clock Eastern time, no Rex Burkhead out for the Patriots. Calvin Benjamin, you mentioned dealing with those knee issues.
Now they're saying James White probably not going to play as well. So Mike Gillisley, who's been in mothballs for a long time, is most likely going to be the early down back. This is the latest report coming out, and that you'll see Deion Lewis more as a pass catcher and third down back. So Mike Gillisley suddenly on the radar. If you're in a daily fantasy league, you're probably going to be able to get him on the cheap because, again, he's got no data for in recent memory, and here's an opportunity with the Patriots, a double-digit point spread favorite.
Is there a mystery man clue number two? The first one was he spent 4 years in the NFL and has a total of 29 carries.
Number two, he is one of three players in NCAA history to rush for at least 30 touchdowns in a season.
Okay, 4 years, 29 carries in the NFL, but one of three players in college football to have 30 or more touchdowns on the ground in a season. He is Mike Harmon. I am Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. A Super Bowl 54 preview may be on tap today in the NFL. We'll tell you who shines in that game next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Beyer. That's Mike Harmon. It's championship week in fantasy football. I know there are leagues that go to week 17, and we'll be here for you as well, but week 16 seems to be quite a common one, and Cornelio Gomez has a Leonard Fournette or Kenyon Drake as a flex option today.
Means he's got two other running backs that are better than those
two.
He
likes Hunt. He's going to play Hunt and Kamara.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt. And,
I'm with you.
Yep. So he wants to know, should he go Drake on the other sideline with the Dolphins and Chiefs, or do you go Leonard Fournette going up against the 49ers?
Well, as Kenyon Drake, as Drake is a fan of pretty much any front-running team, I'll make him the front-runner here going up against Kansas City. You look at Fournette against San Francisco, they're ranked similarly if you look at the quote expert consensus. I just think with Fournette, it's a much more difficult proposition against that San Francisco front with Drake making big plays, chunk yardage. I think against Kansas City, that's your better option.
And congratulations to Doc Diggler, who for the first time in 9 years,
how about that,
made the finals in a league that he is the commissioner of. He is in a standard league and needs a flex play. Marquise Goodwin, Mohamed Sanu, Jay Ajayi, or Juju Smith-Schuster, who was one of your hot plays for week 16.
Very difficult to sit down Jay Ajayi, but I think I have to go with Juju Smith-Schuster. I got to go for the big ceiling there against that Houston secondary. You know how much Dan and I have talked up the exploits of Mohamed Sanu. I believe we probably should be
all
getting
reliable.
Some percentage
yes.
of his paychecks at this point. Goodwin has been strong, 50 plus yards, at least 50 yards in six straight games, but obviously a difficult draw on the edges against Jacksonville. So he sits. Sanu's interesting. Always tough to sit a running back with, quote, guaranteed touches, but Juju Smith-Schuster, let's go for the ceiling.
I'm telling you, when you're watching Falcons Saints today, and the Falcons have a 3rd-and-8, just close your eyes, and when they say pass complete, the words that are going to follow are to Mohamed Sanu for a 1st down. That is what you are going to get. He is the security blanket for Matt Ryan. He is one of 2 Falcons that I trust to be there every single game. The other one, Devontae Freeman. Everybody else is a Bitcoin stock. It's up and down. It's here and there. It's all over the place. I am all about the steadiness of Mohamed Sanu.
Steady as they go. Fox Football Fantasy brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. We'll switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Super Bowl 52 will be played in February in Minneapolis. Super Bowl 54, a couple of seasons away. But I wouldn't be shocked with the way things are going right now, Mike Harmon, that we could have a Jaguars 49ers Super
Bowl
54. That's the matchup that we get today. I mentioned Marquise Goodwin going up against a tough Jacksonville secondary, but Marquise Lee is out for Jacksonville. Jaguars can clinch the AFC South with a win today. Could also do it with some help by the Rams as they face the Titans. And if the Titans lose, it's the Jaguars. But Jaguars 49ers now a little bit intriguing as they play in the Bay.
Couple of storylines, certainly. People looking to see Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, here's a nice big test for you against that secondary. I think it's a difficult proposition for fantasy purposes to put him in. You have some reliability in Garrett Celek, and you have certainly Marquise Goodwin's come up with a number of big catches. But beyond that, you're wondering how much you're getting out of the run game. We had Carlos Hyde on the cold sore side of things. So if you're not getting production out of him, does it all bog down and crumble? Conversely, for the Jaguars, you're looking at great play over the last month for Blake Bortles. Been a lot in the news. People finally giving him a little bit of just due. He wasn't huge statistically early on. Why they relied on the defense and Leonard Fournette? Well, now with Fournette having been banged up a little bit, they've gone back to needing some big plays out of Bortles, and Marquise Lee has been one of those heroes. He goes out last week, and what happens? Well, you find Keelan Cole steps up into the forefront. He's a 3rd wide receiver option for you today. If you're really bold, perhaps into the 2s, but either way, a guy that's intriguing enough and enough targets between he and D.D. Westbrook to get both of them at least fantasy starter numbers.
When I say the likes of the Browns, Cardinals, Colts, and Texans, what comes to mind?
I can't say it. It's a family show on a Sunday morning as people are going to church.
I'm just going to say it. I did leave the Seahawks out of there. But those are 4 out of the last 5 opponents the Jaguars have played. So while the Blake Bortles train is flying down the train tracks, let's just pump those brakes a little bit, okay? Let's just ease up. I know like any progress is good progress, but still, I know statistically he has been good. I just think that, all right, let's hold on here. Let's just realize what the Jaguars have been dealing with.
All right, let's recognize we have 2 conversations here, Dan. There's the football aspect
yes,
and the fantasy football
true,
aspect.
That's true.
For fantasy football purposes, I don't care. And he has another great matchup here against the Niners. Top 10 fantasy points allowed per game over the last 4 months.
Speaking of don't care, one team doesn't care if their coach is back next year. We'll tell you who next. Week 16 is here. Tons of scenarios playing out throughout the National Football League, including a huge game in the NFC South featuring the Saints and Atlanta Falcons. They met just a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night. Now they'll do it again. Mike, you know, week 17 is reserved for these for division matchups, so you'll have 16 division matchups. What I kind of see as unfortunate is a lot of these division matchups won't mean anything.
It'll be like a lot of the Thursday night football games that we watched over the course of the year, Dan. A lot of divisional matchups that most people didn't care about. And I think we're going to have much the same a week from now.
The Falcons and Saints highlighting the schedule today, in my mind, as the biggest game. Seahawks-Cowboys has a lot of glitz. Winner at least stays alive for a playoff hunt while they're in the playoff hunt, but the loser definitely eliminated. Now, there are other scenarios that can pop up, but that's what we've got with the Seahawks and Cowboys. The Raiders on Monday night travel to Philadelphia to face the Eagles in a game that we touched on a bit earlier as Nick Foles will start again for Philadelphia. But now there's even rumblings that Jack Del Rio's job could be in danger, which is interesting because over the last couple of days we've heard more and more about Hugh Jackson and maybe him not being as, despite what we have heard from ownership, But when you hear Hugh Jackson say some of the things that he did about Isaiah Crowell, and now there's a report he may have lost the locker room, there's rumblings in Oakland as well that could be more changes with the coaching staff, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but overall with maybe Jack Del Rio's job on the line.
Well, what's interesting is you shuffle that up, and then there's a report this morning that John Gruden, the oft-included in the rumor mill John Gruden, is, quote, reaching out to potential assistants.
Let's
throw that in.
Connect the dots. I love it.
And start swirling there, and let's call it what it is. That there was a report saying it was connected to Dirk Cutter as well. So Tampa Bay in the mix, Oakland potentially, the two places obviously that Gruden has coached and had success before. Suddenly those jobs both may become available. For Oakland, it's been a year that was supposed to be filled with greatness. Obviously, you didn't know what you got in Derek Carr early on, coming off the injury, the oft-used quote of, it's broke, it's broke. Yes, that's Derek Carr live. From the game last year, but Amari Cooper's been a no-go except for one game, right? He's shown brightly for one game, and otherwise has been a non-factor. Marshawn Lynch, okay in spots, offensive line, as highly paid as what they thought they were putting together, underperformed, and defensively they had zero turnovers, right? You looked at a team that was built on speed and attacking opposing ball carriers and quarterbacks, didn't do much to force turnovers and give the offense anything to work with. So now we look at, you know, the opportunities haven't been there, and a division that really was left up for grabs, especially when Kansas City came back to the pack. Chargers get hot. Denver's been a mess, and the Raiders are floundering still.
If Gruden had a choice between the Buccaneers and Raiders, you could make it, is it, do you want to coach Derek Carr? Do you want to coach Jameis Winston? Is, I think, a decision. What you also have to remember is you mentioned, you know, when Gruden was with the Buccaneers, that defense was amazing. And
right,
when he went into the Ring of Honor that they had last week in their game against the Falcons and he was honored, sure, Brad Johnson was there, but there was also a lot of, you know, defensive players that were mentioned. So when you're looking at the future, yeah, I think that there's questions. One sideline has Khalil Mack. Another one has Gerald McCoy. And I think you go with a pass rusher and Mack if you're making that decision on where you can maybe turn around a defense. The issue is, you know, you go back to Oakland for a couple of seasons before going to Vegas. If that was your option.
But I think that's, you know, that's part of it that would probably appeal to Gruden as well, though, is, you know, there's going to be a lot of attention when they move to Vegas. Not that it won't be muted a little bit by the palace that's going to open down the road from us here in Southern California about the same time, but you're still looking at all eyes of the football world. How's this going to work? And you get to be the guy that shepherd that. I think there's something in terms of the ego that could be fed in that regard.
In regard to Jack Del Rio, isn't it just the progress of Derek Carr? Isn't that what everything is tied to? Because when we talked about Marcus Mariota 20 minutes ago, that's been my issue, is you've got a guy who you used the second overall pick on a couple of years ago, and not only maybe hasn't he developed into the quarterback you would have hoped, but you also then just don't trust him in certain situations to do anything. I think if the right situation happened in Tennessee, where you focused on developing Marcus Mariota as a quarterback, that he would have great success. That's the question I think that you've got in Oakland as well, is Derek Carr hasn't been, oh my gosh, that's Derek Carr. You mentioned Amari Cooper, the offensive line, Jeff Schwartz, former lineman who does work for us here on Fox Sports Radio, I think tweeted, you've got an offensive line that's running a zone blocking scheme, and you've got maulers like Donald Penn and Kelechi Osemele. Just, you're spending a lot of money, and if they're not using what they're
right
paid to do, what's the point of doing it? Seems to just be a lot of confusion, and the progress of that offense just hasn't taken a step forward.
You look at it right now, over 3 years in Oakland, Del Rio 25-20, had the 12-4 record, losing in the wild card game to the Texans a year ago. Year prior was 7-9, 6-8, 7-9. Jeff Fisher wants back into the coaching game. Let's throw him in well. Sorry, 7-9. It just triggered the memories.
Before we get to the hot plays and cold sores, I want to bring up another mystery man clue because we're going to reveal it in about 15 minutes. The mystery man of week 16, a guy you got to get in your lineup. He has spent 4 years so far in the NFL. It's just 29 carries was clue number one. And clue number two is he's one of three players to have 30 or more touchdowns on the ground in a college football season, or scored, I should say, not passing, but rushing or receiving in a college football season.
Rush for 31 touchdowns. Monty Ball and Barry Sanders, the only two to join him in that exclusive club. How about this for a third clue for you, Dan? Played only 1 year on the big stage in college football.
All right.
JUCOs and whatever else, but literally 1 year.
That is your mystery man for week 16 that we will reveal in 15 minutes. But in 15 seconds, we'll get the hot plays for week 16. Guys, you got to get in your lineup. But first, I want to tell you, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Let's get to them. Hot plays for week 16 in the National Football League.
Let's get it on. Let's start with Phillip Rivers going up against those Jets over the last 4 weeks. Giving up 21.4 fantasy points per game. Sorry, the ABBA music just took me away. 27 touchdowns allowed to opposing quarterbacks this season by the Jets. Drew Brees going up against Atlanta. I'm pushing that we actually have a streak of multi-touchdown games for Drew Brees. His back-to-back touchdown games the last 2 weeks, the first time he's done that since early October. The Falcons' eighth most fantasy points allowed over the last 4 weeks. 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. You have Michael Thomas. You have Alvin Kamara at the ready. Let's go to Sterling Shepard. 11 catches, 139 and a score last week. Now an opportunity here with another huge target count working out of the slot. The Cardinals have been beaten time and time again by receivers out of the slot position. You're looking at Russell Wilson. Multiple touchdowns allowed 6 of the last 7 games by this Dallas defense. They have 0 sacks in the last 4 games. 0 sacks. No pressure. Opportunity here. Doug Baldwin back in as a number 2. Maybe if you're in a daily fantasy league, you're taking a look at Paul Richardson. Maybe going a little bit deeper down the wire there. And certainly Jimmy Graham locked and loaded. Deion Lewis, no Burkhead. Not there to steal those touches. James White also inactive. So double-digit touches in 9 straight game, 60-plus rushing yards, 4 of his last 5. Got to watch here, though, Mike Gillisley. We mentioned the Daily Fantasy League plays. There's a guy you're going to be able to get on the cheap. Reports are that he is going to take a lot of the early down work and certainly the goal line work for the Patriots in this matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Kendall Wright. Yes, I'm going to recommend a Bears wide receiver. Again, probably daily fantasy league or an absolute desperation play. 21 targets over the last 2 weeks. Opportunity here for Wright against the Cleveland Browns. Still pretty solid against the run, but can be hit downfield. DeeDee Westbrook against the San Francisco 49ers. We look at him and pair him with Blake Bortles. Bortles going up against the 49er team, top 10 most fantasy points allowed over the last 4 weeks. And he's got 4 straight top 10 performances as a fantasy QB. This might be a bunch of suspects in terms of the column, but you know what, Dan? Fantasy owners are still licking bills at the end, so it doesn't matter. DeeDee Westbrook, slow game last week. Two catches, 2 targets, only 21 yards. Drew a couple of penalties, but that doesn't help your fantasy bottom line. But he'd had 33 targets the prior 4 weeks. Opportunity here against the 49ers secondary.
I don't want to compare it to a gas station pizza, but you come in with expectations that are really low, and when it's not half bad, you're like, hey, this is pretty good. Okay, that's what I think we've gotten with Blake Bortles over the last couple of weeks. Remember who he's played. That's all I just want to put out there. And as Mike said, we're separating fantasy from real stuff. He'll get you something for fantasy-wise. As we're looking at quarterbacks going into the playoffs on a football winning level, different story. Cold sores for week 16, guys to stay away from in the National Football League.
Well, first, that roadside pizza and whatever, there are 2 things that people always say, no matter what, it's still all good. Nocturnal activities, no matter how short or bad, still nocturnal activities, and pizza. Anyway, cold sores for week 16. Carlos Hyde against those Jacksonville Jaguars. They're second best against running backs over the last 4 weeks. Only 11.5 fantasy points per game. And volume play here, Hyde's still going to be a second running back for you. Leonard Fournette on the other side, same thing. He drifts into the RB2s for me. San Francisco, very quietly, zero rushing touchdowns allowed over the last 5 weeks. Over the last month, fewer than 9 fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs. Opportunity. Todd Gurley against Tennessee. We put him on the list here because over the last month, the Titans, fourth best against opposing running backs. But where they can get hit and did early in the season were running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. That's how the Rams are going to have to use Gurley today for him to have a positive impact for your fantasy team. We look at Matt Ryan going up against those New Orleans Saints. Multiple touchdown games, just 5 of 14 times this year. He's finished 20th or worse for fantasy scoring 3 straight weeks. And you're looking at the Saints, the 10th best fantasy defense against quarterbacks during that period. You just want to go after Matt Ryan? Go ahead.
No.
You want to bury him? How about we bury A.J. Green and Kirk Cousins while we're at it?
See you later. Beat it.
That's a nice summary statement. I wrote that down here. You know, A.J. Green, fewer than 70 receiving yards, 6 of his last 8. Darius Slay's got him. And then Kirk Cousins, even though Denver's had their issues, 4 straight games for Cousins as a mid QB2. And Denver, 4th best over the last month, giving up just 175 passing yards per game.
I have to say it. If it wasn't for Bengals-Lions, and heck, you know what? Lions are at least still in the playoff picture. Broncos-Redskins is the most irrelevant game of the week. It is. I mean, at least Browns-Bears has intrigue that the Browns maybe could, again, get a victory. But everything else has a little bit of intrigue. But Broncos-Redskins, which was Super Bowl 22. And at the start of the year, you would have thought, well, this is going to be a really unique matchup. This one turns out to be a stinker.
There's 2 things that I'm looking for in this game. Paxton Lynch, whether he plays at all. Not that it really means anything on the grand scope, but you always just want to get a look-see at a quarterback who may or may not be part of the evaluation process for the future. The other is to make sure that Kirk Cousins is still walking off with all his limbs attached at the end of this game, because those are the dominoes as we get towards the end of this regular season that we're waiting to fall in terms of the quarterbacks, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get franchise tagged if they can't come to a big deal in San Francisco. He's energized people in the Bay Area at least enough to where, all right, they'll figure out something, even if it's 1 year, to figure out the long term going forward. But Kirk Cousins right now, is he necessarily a member of the Washington Redskins?
He could be on the other sideline next season. I mean, Denver's been brought up as a possibility, right, if he ends up hitting free agency and going that route.
I want to see him franchised again and earn $34 million. That's what I want to see, Dan.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. By the way, there's a report out there that the Bengals could be eyeing Jay Gruden to replace Marvin Lewis if Lewis does officially step aside. Something to keep our eye on there. It is Fox Football Fantasy. Reach us on Twitter. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. You can get Mike over at Swollen Dome. The Carolina Panthers can clinch a playoff berth with a win today, but it's a much bigger day for their quarterback. We'll tell you why next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy on Fox Sports Radio. I want to dive into Cam Newton and the Panthers in a sec, but it is winning weekend. He is Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. It is week 16 in the National Football League. And our Twitter name of the year, Anita Bong Hit. Anita. Yes, Bong Hit is the last name. Tweets in, it's for all the marbles, Mike Harmon, Derrick Henry, or Peyton Barber today.
Can I punt?
You can.
That's not an option, though. We need a winner. Barber against Carolina, not the best of matchups, but opportunity certainly appears to be there. You know, when we look at the Tennessee Titans getting nearly a touchdown at home against the Rams, something that is not lost on a lot of us still playing in the fantasy world. Here is the way you get after the Rams is to run the football, which means I think you see an awful lot of Murray and Henry being the more explosive player. If I'm going to rank them, I think I take Henry a couple of slots higher and look for a higher ceiling based on 1 or 2 big plays. With Barber, I don't know that it necessarily comes against Carolina in the run game. I think downfield you're going to have an opportunity for Mike Evans. and whomever else they happen to line up, because they're all hurt at this point, between Brait and DeSean Jackson. One of the players we're looking at, Chris Godwin, getting the the rookie out of Penn State. He's got 37 targets on the season, 24 catches. Perhaps there's an opportunity there as a deep daily fantasy play there. But for Peyton Barber, more effort in the run game.
When all else fails for the Buccaneers, and we mentioned maybe the Dirk Koetter being ousted, John Gruden could connect that dots maybe to the Raiders as well. The lasting image, the lasting message the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will send in 2017 is, what a boring Hard Knocks. That's it. Like, no matter what happened throughout the regular season, that's what I get from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I remember names that we watched in August, and Chris Godwin's one of those names. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That season stunk. But on the Panthers side of things, you're going to think of a lot more. And, Mike, as we talk about Nick Foles, and you bring up the name of Case Keenum, and you look at what Jared Goff has done with the Rams, as this playoff picture is settling out, Cam Newton and Drew Brees is, I don't want to say limited role because it's not apropos, but limited to what Drew Brees used to do in the National Football League.
Yep.
Cam Newton is by far and away the quarterback, in my mind, that would shoulder the most load of any of the teams that could make the NFC playoffs. And Cam's thrown for more than 4,000 yards once in his career, and that was his rookie season. So he's never thrown over 4,000 yards outside of that rookie season. But in a year when we were wondering if Cam Newton should run the ball or not run the ball, and I have been on team running from the absolute get-go. I don't know why you wouldn't want Cam Newton to run. He is on the cusp of having the most rushing yards that he ever had in his career. Just needs 100 more to break what he did in his second year. So that's 50 today against the Buccaneers and 50 next week against the Atlanta Falcons. Not that it's a given, but the fact of the matter is, when we talk about MVPs and you're trying to figure out, okay, is it Russell Wilson? Is it Carson Wentz? And maybe they eliminate themselves for injuries or bad performances. Antonio Brown, I never got the Antonio Brown talk, but now he's taking himself out of it because of his injury. When you're trying to find an MVP, it seemed like we would default to Tom Brady. Todd Gurley, I think, is a viable option. But when you look at what the Panthers have done and you look at least this is a team that is the only reason the Vikings haven't clinched a first-round bye, by the way, because there's still a way that the Panthers could win the division and get that bye. Cam Newton's importance to this Panthers team, I think, is bigger than maybe any other quarterback that you've got in the NFC.
Well, certainly when we look at the conference overall, you miss Greg Olsen for a long period of time, your number one option. You trade away Kelvin Benjamin, just decide you're done with that experiment. Funchess appears on the radar and has a couple of big games. He's been dealing with injuries for about a month now as well, shoulder, among other things. So you look at Cam Newton on a week-to-week basis. Seven of his last nine games, he's carried the ball at least nine times. And you look at Stewart and McCaffrey. McCaffrey has been solid as a rookie, but not world-beating, not having those big plays and big impact moments that I think we necessarily thought. And I think when we look at Cam Newton, that they want to push him off to the side to a degree. Carolina, not an exciting brand of football, as good and exciting as Cam is at times. And the fact that the South has been a muddled mess where you have three teams in contention, it's easy to just kind of say, he's part of a possible playoff team. But to the other, the Antonio Brown was, he's a wide receiver doing some crazy things. Lifetime Achievement Award, I think, was
I would agree with that.
Because nobody brought in Ben Roethlisberger's name in any of this. No. Still got to deliver the ball.
And if you look at his numbers compared to like other receivers at that point in years past, there were better seasons in 2016 or 2015 to what Antonio Brown was doing. You just had a lack of candidates.
Yeah, and I think when we get into MVP discussions, we've seen it in the NBA, you want next.
Yeah.
Right? You want someone else holding up the hardware at the end of the year. You know, the reason Michael Jordan didn't win it every year, the reason Kobe Bryant doesn't have three bookshelves full of them and go on down the line. Same thing in the NFL. We've seen Cam Newton excel before. The thing he needs is the Super Bowl trophy to go up there. The MVP I think, pushed away because Tom Brady barely thought of as well, right? He became the default guy once Wentz and Brown got hurt to where it suddenly, well, I guess you have Tom Brady. Like, nobody was making the argument for him before because it was more Tom Brady doing typical Tom Brady things. I think the impressive part about Cam Newton is he doesn't have the gaudy passing numbers on a week-to-week basis, yet they're finding wins. Defense is playing well. You don't have much of a running game, but getting it done with his legs, making big plays, and then wearing cool hats when they win.
Mark this down. Rob, our executive producer, Cam Newton should be in the MVP conversation, and there is no doubt about it. He has thrown one interception in the months of November and December.
Yeah.
You want to talk about helping your team win. We always talk about Heisman moments. What about the run against the Vikings? Sure, they didn't do anything in the air. You mentioned you've got a dinged up Greg Olsen for most of the season. You trade away Calvin Benjamin. I'm going to put Curtis Samuel as a guy that they were going to rely on as a rookie in and out of the lineup and then done for the season.
Right.
It was 2 years ago in that Super Bowl that Funchess was the maybe third option, but you also had Philly Brown and Ted Ginn, both those guys out of town. So when you're looking at the Carolina Panthers, Jonathan Stewart hasn't provided much of a running game. You mentioned McCaffrey and what he's done. No huge plays, but he's really been Cam's security blanket. The numbers may not show it, but he is just, to me, so vitally important to what the Panthers could do and is really the reason why they are where they are and at least have a legitimate shot to do some damage in the playoffs, and it's all going to be on his shoulder.
Because you know what everybody's going to argue against him, right? It's Luke Kuechly.
It's Luke Kuechly.
It's his team.
The passing numbers aren't going to blow you away, but they shouldn't necessarily.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to. Win games, make enough plays for your team to win, and when we look at it, I mean, certainly from the aspect of what we're doing here from a fantasy perspective, some ridiculous numbers with the number of games over 40 or 50 rushing yards along the way, as well as the handful of touchdowns there. I mean, he's been invaluable. And I think when we expand those discussions, for me, I was at least trying to make sure someone was stumping for Brady when everybody still had Wentz and Antonio Brown. Like, why are we forgetting him? And if you want to, and that was just, you know, somewhat the voice in the wilderness. But then you start adding the larger perspective. Yeah, Cam certainly is a guy to be looking at.
And you look at how everything falls on the shoulders of other quarterbacks in the NFC, the most is going to fall on his shoulders. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. One NFL coach may have cost himself his job this week, and it had nothing to do with what his team did on the field. We'll tell you about that. But first, Isaac Lowenkron gives us a look back at what's happened last night in the National Football League and a look forward to what's happening in the NFL. Morning, Isaac.
Morning, Danny. Hey, Michael, what happened last night was a shutout by the Minnesota Vikings. First shutout victory for them in over 24 years. They blanked the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field 16-0 to improve to 12-3. They can clinch a first round bye today if Carolina loses or ties against Tampa Bay. Staying with the Packers, Adam Schefter reported this morning that multiple teams complained to the NFL last week that the Packers actually violated NFL rules by putting Aaron Rodgers on injured reserve twice with the same injury, and that technically, by rule, they would now have to release him. Schefter reported that the Packers are not expected to be forced to release him, but other teams have been contacting the NFL wondering why the Packers got a pass in this situation. On the bright side, if the NFL did force the Packers to release Rodgers, at least he wouldn't have to be next-door neighbors on road trips anymore with Clay Matthews.
Are you taking all your tiny shampoos?
I'm like a bird, I only fly away.
Come to think of it, after hearing Matthew sing, wouldn't blame Rodgers if he was the one who leaked that story to Schefter. Schefter also reported today that Steelers receiver Antonio Brown is not expected to be ready for the wild card round of the playoffs. Brown, of course, recovering from a partially torn calf muscle suffered last week against the Patriots. Hey, another year, another set of groomers. NFL Media's Ian Rappaport reported today that John Gruden is right now going through the process of reaching out to former assistants to see if they would be available if he were to get a head coaching job, and that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be his preferred destination. And finally, fellas, Rappaport also reporting that should Washington move on from Jay Gruden, that he would be the preferred candidate to replace Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. So groomers all over the place.
Thank you, Isaac. Cincinnati taking on the Detroit Lions today. There was a picture tweeted out about the Bengals tailgate that we've got 2.5 hours before kickoff of a game against Detroit, and the parking lot is empty. And this is from Paul Denner Jr., who writes for the Cincinnati Inquirer, tweeted out a picture of the parking lot at Paul Brown Stadium. Again, we're 2.5 hours away from kickoff. And it's Christmas Eve, we get it, but Lions and Bengals, not the draw that you've got.
Buddy, we could put up some orange cones and have our own field. We could play our own full-on game. 100 yards, nothing getting in our way. No cars, no people, no tailgates. I don't have to run into any grills.
It looks like a grocery store parking lot on Christmas Day when it's closed. Nobody is there.
A couple of folks that say, forget your parking bans and your notices. I'm still parking here.
Oh, amazing. We've got the Mystery Man reveal coming up in 60 seconds, but want to let you know we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947 auto. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Lions still have an outside chance at making it to the NFC playoffs. Gonna need some help along the way. They're 8-6 along with the Seahawks and Cowboys. All of those teams need the Falcons to falter, and the Falcons have the Saints today in what is our marquee game in week 16.
Difficult spot for the Falcons. We had Ryan on as one of our cold plays, so certainly when we're looking at that squad, they get Tevin Coleman back in some capacities, no better than a back end number two or flex play for you alongside Devonta Freeman. So difficulties there. Julio Jones, you know how I feel on a week-to-week basis. He will gut you just as often as he, you know, excites you in terms of his performance. Your more consistent player, we've celebrated his entire catalog, Mohamed Sanu. Now, for the Detroit Lions, when we look at Matthew Stafford, another season where the numbers pile up and there are some great games that help to mask some deficiencies on that squad, but Marvin Jones Jr. having himself a nice year, Golden Tate, not the consistency that you anticipated, nor did you get that from Eric Ebron, but a good spot here for Ebron against the Bengals, a team that gives up a lot of work to opposing tight ends over the course of the season. You're looking at the 10th or 11th most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. Conversely, Tyler Kroft with a shot against the Detroit Lions. This is one that maybe not a lot of folks are excited. This is just north of that Washington game that we were talking about.
Redskins Broncos, the most meaningless game that we've got this weekend.
So here's what I'd do in the parking lot there for that game, though, Dan. I think I'd give everybody some cool pastels and some chalk, and we'd have a nice mural contest for those that did show up. How about that?
Giants Cardinals, by the way, also knocking on that door of the most meaningless game of the weekend.
You don't want to watch Drew Stanton quarterback?
He's back. The Blaine Gabbert hype train that you wish that was going to continue ended up finally screeching to a halt in Arizona, so Drew Stanton back at quarterback.
Why wouldn't they just let him finish the job? There's two more weeks. What's the difference?
Maybe when you lose to the Redskins, that's what you end up doing. You end up losing your job. Let's reveal the mystery man for week 16. Mike Harmon, the clues again. 4 years in the NFL so far, just 29 carries. Was one of three players to have 30 or more rushing touchdowns in college football in a season. And the final clue was?
I forget which.
It was the yardage.
The yardage. Yes. Again.
All right. We're conflating
all our data points.
Who's the mystery
over seven? No. He only played 1 year.
Yeah, and that's true. In major college football.
So
that's what it was.
1,741 rushing yards, 31 touchdowns at Colorado State. He is Capri Bibbs. And he is part of that matchup between the Redskins and the Denver Broncos. Remember, he was with the Broncos at one point. Samaje Perine, a game-time decision. You may see a lot of Capri Bibbs today.
I'm sorry to lead you away by mentioning the yardage thing. That's my bad. Not as bad as what Hugh Jackson did to Isaiah Crowell this week. And this could end up costing Hugh Jackson his job. Talking about Crowell's 59-yard run, Hugh Jackson essentially says, anybody could have done it. You were actually, he did say, you or I or five other guys could have ran through the hole that Isaiah Crowell had. Now you've got a bunch of people in the Browns locker room reportedly not happy with Hugh Jackson, and there's questions that Hugh Jackson may have lost the Browns locker room as they sit at 0-14 and face the Bears today.
You mean his 1-29 record didn't do it?
Yeah, that wasn't good enough.
that one didn't. Because you know what? Now we have a legitimate statistical sample size. You need at least 30 instances. We have them. It's not good.
I will say this. It is when you get to the point of criticizing your players or maybe just not giving them, in the day and age of coach speak, when you go to the efforts to take shots at players like he's done over the last couple of weeks, that doesn't send a good message. That doesn't, not when you do it. And his whole point was the momentum runs are the ones where you break tackles. But yet, how are you going to criticize a 59-yard run? Somehow Hugh Jackson found a way to do it today. They're a touchdown underdog to the Bears.
You just keep feeding the guy the ball. Isaiah Crowell has, for the last two seasons, shown if you feed him the ball, he gets stronger. And he will give you chunk yardage as the game goes on. Here's an opportunity. Here's the quote. When everything is block pretty and you can just run through there, that doesn't happen but once or twice a game. I'm not saying that he doesn't do that. I mean, he does it well for us. But I'm just saying you guys are talking about a run that, I'm being very honest, we all could have run through. I abhor coach speak, right, yeah. Where there's saying nothing. This goes to takes the pendulum to the completely other side. Like, coach, not, you may only have two games left. You may already know you only have two games left. But how does this endear you to anybody? Yeah. And how does any locker room say, you know what, bring me that guy. That's who I want as my next OC, or that's the guy I want as my next head coach. Just an asinine move.
An awful look. And I'll tell you what, there is one guy that could have ran through that hole. B.A. in Alabama, joining us on Fox Football Fantasy. Merry Christmas, B.A. How you doing?
Feliz Navidad, mis amigos.
What's up, brother?
I lost. I'm in the consolation game. I know. Well, that sucks.
Blame me.
No. You've given me many championships. You know that, Domer. Hey, real quick, as a Christmas Star Wars joke, do you know how Darth Vader knew what Luke Skywalker got him for Christmas?
How?
He felt his presence.
Aha! Well done.
Anyway,
what do you got?
All right. I want you to rank these six for me.
All right.
How about Martavis Bryant, Clemson, Marvis Jones Jr., California, Jesse James, Penn State, Vernon Davis, Maryland, Richard Matthews, Nevada, and La Cigarette Blunt, Oregon. Rank those six for me. I had another question about rookies, but we'll do that later. But I want to tell you that 50 years ago, 1967, Joe Namath, Roll Tide, was the first quarterback to throw over 4,000 yards. And it's Jim Harbaugh's birthday. He's 54. God bless us, everyone, even the Auburn fans. Thank you. I'll call you soon. Love you. Roll Tide, America.
Be good, B.A.
B.A. in
Alabama. Even those Auburn fans. Let's get them in today. All right, let's run through these right quick. Give me Bryant. Give me Jones. Those are two I want right off the jump. Third, we are going to go to Vernon Davis. Fourth, Jesse James. Fifth, LeGarrette Blount. Sixth, Richard Matthews.
If you had any of those players this season, you were locked into Fox Football Fantasy because we talked about those guys. We talked about LeGarrette Blount every single week for BA in Alabama. It is Fox Football Fantasy. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. You can always reach us on Twitter. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox, and you can get Mike over at Swollen Dome. There are a bunch of clinching scenarios in the NFL today, but one team is better than all the rest when it comes to sealing the deal. We'll tell you who that is next on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Beyer. That's Mike Harmon. Adam Vinatieri and the Colts have one more game left this season. He's not going to get his bonus. Missing some tough games for Vinatieri this season because he had the snow game in Buffalo. They made him kick a 60-yarder in the rain yesterday against the Ravens, which was, by the way, online. It was like a yard or two short, but going to miss out on that $500,000 bonus.
Team more or less flipping him off at this moment, Dan Beyer. You know, he sounded as grizzled and hateful as Bob Dylan did singing that Christmas song.
Oh, there's no hate when the family gets together. Oh, let's wrap up this Christmas Eve edition of Fox Football Fantasy.
Yeah, buddy.
As we play the feud. Guys, top eight answers on the board. Sam Kinsley's our technical producer. Rob Dosmani, our executive producer. Isaac Lohenkron anchors the show with Mike Harmon right next to me. They make up the Fox family, and we'll try to reveal top eight answers on the board. Most division titles as a franchise in NFL history. NFL history is a very, very big clue. Three strikes on the board, one pass available. Looking for the top eight. Mike Harmon, we start with you.
I'm going to take the chalk of the last 20 years of my life, the New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots. Most division titles is a franchise in NFL history. Show me Patriots.
No! You can dominate for two decades, and it doesn't matter, gentlemen. You be warned.
It tells you on how bad things were for the Patriots prior to that. Yes. Yeah. Let's go to Rob Dosmati, our executive producer.
Oh, my God. Let's go with the Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Lots of titles in Titletown. Yes, there they are. Absolutely. Number one answer. Number one answer. 28 division titles is a franchise in the NFL, the history of the NFL. Sam Kinsley, our technical producer, is on board.
Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ah, the Steelers and the steel curtain of the 1970s. Show me. Yes, show me Steelers. They showed it to me. 24 division titles. Over to Isaac Lohenkron.
I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, great success
nicely
in the NFC West for all
done,
those years.
Sure.
Show me 49ers.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Hold on a sec. Oh, man. The shock and awe. We are down to two strikes. NFL history, okay? We do have a pass available. Back over to Mike Harmon.
Let me slow this down a minute by reminding you that Fox Football Fantasy is brought to you by Geico. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Filibustering is now done. And again, recent struggles. We'll look aside for a moment and take the Oakland, Los Angeles, whatever they are, Raiders.
The Raiders. Okay, if the Raiders is not on the board, we have got a lot of answers. Show me Raiders.
That might be the worst we've ever done.
I think it is. Okay, the reason
I got two of them wrong.
The reason I said NFL guys was to eliminate some AFL franchises because we are going back. So the Packers were one, Steelers were one. Show me number two. New York Giants. The New York Giants after all those years. Anybody else want to throw out any teams?
The Portsmouth Spartans.
No. They did not make the list. Current franchises. Just any.
The Bears?
The Bears.
The Vikings.
The Bears were at number six with 23 division titles. The rest of the board, Cowboys, Browns, Colts, and Rams. There it is.
The Browns.
Yeah, the Browns. And that's why the NFL history, when you think of history, gosh, you've got, 60, 70, 80, 90 years for some of these
franchises.
Well,
it was more just the, when it mattered.
Well,
in other words, recency bias comes into play.
That leaves us with the one game that we really didn't talk about a lot, Chargers-Jets. What do you like about the Bryce Petty game today?
I like the Chargers to roll up a lot of points, and for that defense to torment that young man, it'll be a difficult proposition. Winging off his backseat, you got Matt Forte, Powell, everybody's ready and ready for bear there, but it's a workload split that you can't go into. Robbie Anderson, no better than a third wide receiver against those corners, and so you look for the Chargers side, Keenan Allen. Antonio Gates back in the mix, that Hunter Henry goes to IR, so potentially a streamer there.
a very Merry Christmas to all of you. We hope you have success in Week 16, and we can't wait to wrap up the year with you next week here on Fox Football Fantasy.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.